Now let us seek the Lord once again. O gracious God, we thank Thee that Thy Word can be studied and read again and again. And yet, O Lord, we are concerned that we have become too familiar with the words in themselves. And so we pray that the Spirit of God would work and that make Thy Word to come alive and bless our souls and even those who are far from Christ to be brought near to Him. Bless them, we pray, for we ask these things through the Lord Jesus. Amen. Every day of our lives, the Lord has blessed us with a tongue that we can use to speak with one another. That's a wonderful blessing. And when we speak, we use words. We cannot really communicate together with simply looking at each other. Sometimes we can. Sometimes parents, they look at their children and the children exactly know why, what they have done or what they should do. But generally speaking, to communicate, we use words. Average person has around 20,000 words in his or her vocabulary. And of course, we don't use all of that, but we normally use around 2,000 words or so in normal conversation. I was reading somewhere recently that there are about 200,000 English words that are in common usage, and there are over 3 million words in English language. And that is an amazing thing. Many, many words, lots of words. But of all the words that I use, of all the words that we hear and we encounter on a daily basis, the words of the Bible, the Word of God, are the most important of all. They are the most powerful words that anyone has ever spoken, the most piercing words that can reach not only the ear, but the inward ear, the ear of the heart. It transforms the soul. It transforms people's worlds. It brings into existence life. New life, spiritual life. It brings into existence faith and brings Jesus to us. If the Holy Spirit inspired this book, and I believe it, He has, then I must also believe that He chose the precise words that He wanted to be used in the Bible. And so it is important for us to prayerfully, always prayerfully, when you read the Bible, understand what are these words mean? What do they mean? What do I mean when we read the words of the Scripture? So, we must pray. We must also use the Bible to interpret what the Bible says, but also certain tools. In my study, I would use a dictionary and various lexicons for the Greek and the Hebrew to study the meaning of these words. And that is a good thing. And that's what I want to do this afternoon, or this evening, to think about the meaning of some of the words that we have been reading of. Some familiar words before us. They are powerful words. And my text is found in verse 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There are some words that are used there which we oftentimes use in language. If you come to a church, you oftentimes hear the word saved, being saved. We sing about it. We speak about it. To be saved. What does it mean? It says, wherefore He is able to save them. What does that mean? To be saved. The word save means to rescue somebody or something, to rescue somebody or something from harm or danger. There's a trouble ahead. And so a person goes to save that thing or to save that one. Saving someone from drowning. Saving a person from a burning building. Saving a person from falling. Saving someone from a certain death. And so on. The English word gives us the idea of delivering another person from impending doom or danger. Deliverance. That's what it means. And it's, let me tell you this, it is exactly the same in the Greek as well. To save. There's no loss in the translation. It means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. That's what a Greek dictionary would tell you. To make well, to heal, to restore to health. And that's the way we use it in the English language. So it says there is someone. He is able also to save. Are you saved? That is something that is oftentimes repeated. We are asked. Or you hear somebody saying, I am saved. I thank God that I am saved. Or you sing about it. Well, we must pray that the Lord will help us understand these things. And here we learn that Christ is able to save. That's what I want you to think about. So let's think about these words of this verse. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let's think about just a few of these words that we have read and make the gospel of Jesus Christ plain to you. The first thing is this. That salvation is about a person. He. Wherefore, he is able also to save. Therefore, he doesn't mention about a system of ideas. It doesn't mention about a book. It doesn't mention about you doing something. Or it doesn't mention about a church or anybody like that. Wherefore he, a person. Who is this? Who is this he? Well, he is identified in verse 22. It says, by so much was Jesus made the surety of a better testament. Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. Jesus the Son of God. Jesus who is the God manifest in the flesh. He is able. So that word he is a person. Salvation is about a person. Jesus alone has the ability to provide salvation. He is salvation itself. That is the clear message of the New Testament. That should be the clear message that is preached of every New Testament church, because that's what the church preached at the beginning. Neither is there salvation in any other, the apostle said. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Again that word, the name of Jesus. Or we read in another place, this call to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Or another, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's a person who gives life. It's a person who saves. Friends, it's a very simple thing if you come to church regularly to hear these things. But I think about the time that I was away from God. I was far, far from the Lord. I'd never heard about a person who can save me. And it is transforming. For somebody who's never heard these things to hear for the first time, there's a person who is able to save. And it's a person who is not requiring you to be working and doing something, but He is the Savior. And it may seem narrow, and it may sound narrow to our modern minds, but salvation will only be found in Jesus Christ, in that personal knowledge and personal experience of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus did what no man could ever do. Jesus Christ did that very thing that none of us could do. And that is to give Himself, His sinless life, His sinless soul, His sinless body, to be crucified. For His soul to experience the wrath of His Father upon Him. For Him to die, to give up His spirit in the agony and shame of the cross. And when He did, when He shed His precious blood, His sinless blood, His precious blood, for the sins of all who will come to Him for salvation, then He has made that new and living way for poor sinners like us to come to His Father by Him. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter 2, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The church doesn't have the answer. The church cannot save you. The ministers of the gospel cannot give you salvation. They do not have that answer. Only Jesus Christ can rescue, can save you from the danger that threatens your soul. So only Jesus can save. And sometimes you see a little pin attached to people's jackets. Jesus saves. And it is true. Now, the second thing I want us to think about is that word is. Is. All of the words of the Bible, they are inspired. And they are written for a reason. And that word is tells you that salvation is a current fact. Is the verb, or part of the verb, that is present tense. It's now. It's talking about now. It's not talking about past. It's now you've missed it. You can't get it. It's not talking about something that you have to wait for and it will come later on in future. And so, and it says, so on Monday morning, He is able to. Or next week, or next month, many things in our lives, we have to wait for and wait. With promises. But this promise and this truth is for now. It's a current fact. He's saying that He is able to save. And this has become a possibility and a fact right now. And when we speak of salvation in this way, we are not talking about something that was or something that will be later on. Somebody would say, well, I hope God will forgive me. But Jesus says, I am able now to forgive you. We're speaking of something that can happen right now. So the scripture says this, that He, Jesus Christ, is able to save. The Lord Jesus Christ did not simply operate during the Bible times, but He is still saving souls today. And maybe there are people here who you're worried and you wonder about what will happen to you in eternity. Then you need to worry. Not for eternity. You ought to be worried and be concerned for now. Your state of soul now. Not later on. Boys and girls, Your children. Are you concerned now for your soul? He is willing and able to save today. This is his call. I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That is God's promise to you. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh, again, present tense, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You do not have to live in your sins. You do not have to live under the guilt of your sins. For one more day, for one more hour, he is able now to save. Now, this very moment, you can be free. You can be saved. You can be assured of heaven today. If you only come to Jesus Christ and him only, while salvation and the call of the gospel comes to us now, I'm afraid that it will not always be. Christ does not always call us, forever call us. No, there will come a time that he will stop calling. That we will not hear another sermon again. We will not hear and feel the convictions in the soul. But my advice to you is this. My pleading with you is this. If the Lord is speaking to you, if the Lord is stirring you up, if the Lord is convicting you, then bow before him and trust in him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able today and he is calling today. And so trust him. Isaiah tells the Israelites this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So it gives us, the prophet there was giving a warning at the same time as giving a promise. There's a time that the Lord will be found of sinners. And there will be a time that he will be near. But then there is a time that sinners are cut off forever. Then another word that we will consider that has to do with power. He is able. He is able. Salvation is about this power. He is able. That's what we are told. The word able, it means to have the power to do something. Not just the desire, but the power. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to do something about our lost state and condition. He has the power, the ability to save our soul. He's able to do just that. Salvation of souls. You are not able. I am not able at all to lift a finger towards God. To raise myself up towards heaven. We cannot do that. But he is able. The word able comes from the same word which we get the English word for dynamite or dynamic. It has the idea of explosive power in it. And Jesus Christ has the power to invade your life, to transform it, to break the chains, whatever it may be that is keeping you back from him and keeping you in sins. He's able to destroy that. He has the ability and power to set you free from the bondage that you are in. He is able. He is able to set us free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That word also gives the idea of competence. Competence. In other words, it refers to someone who knows what he is doing. You want someone like that, don't you? We need someone who knows what he's doing. Not someone who simply promises. I have promised some people to do something for them. But when I arrive, I realize I don't know what to do. I'm willing, but not able. Or we make a certain promise, but then certain things happen in our lives. And then we cannot perform it. We are not competent. But Jesus Christ, He is competent. He is able. If my car breaks down, I need a mechanic. And I want to take that car to someone who is competent to get it fixed. Isn't that what you would do? If I have a problem with my body, I want to take it to someone who is competent and who would help me. Well, you can do that outside of the NHS if you have the money for it. But if it was possible, I would go to find the surgeon who didn't get a D, but got an A in his exam. Who didn't just make it, but actually did it and performed very well in his tests. Who knows what they are doing. Who is competent. That is the person I need for my body. That is the person I need for my car or anything else. But when it comes to my soul, your soul, we need someone who is competent. Don't you need that person? You see, your soul is far more of value than your car or whatever you might have, boys and girls, whatever you might value so much in your home, in your room. Your soul is of far, far greater value than that. And so you need the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able, who is competent. Well, we are glad that we can proclaim this message. We can tell you, we can preach to you that Jesus Christ is able. He's more than able. He's more than competent when it comes to the saving of souls. He can save anybody. He can save anywhere. He can save anytime from sin. And any sin. He has the power to save because He's paid the price to save. And He has this power because He lived that sinless life. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. So He is able. He can and will save all who come to Him by faith. It is so simple. And yet it is so profound. It is so simple to say these words that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How simple that is. A child can understand it. But have you been convicted in your soul to seek Him now who is able? But salvation is also about something else. Is the word uttermost. Uttermost. It has to do with perfection. Salvation is about a perfection. Uttermost. Not only the Lord Jesus Christ possesses the power to provide salvation, but the Bible tells us that He's able to save to the uttermost. And that's a precious word. Uttermost. It means completely. It means perfectly, and it means utterly. When God saves a soul from sin, He does it right. He does it perfectly. He does it completely. He does it utterly. He completely saves us. What does this mean then to us? Does it have any meaning to you? If you are saved to the uttermost, here is a little of what it means for you. One of the things is that you are saved completely from your sins. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, For he shall save his people from their sins. All of your sins. Every single one of your sins. Even sins that you've committed and you're ignorant of. They've been washed away. They've been dealt with thoroughly by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist knew something of this when he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So, it gives us a word picture. As far as the east is from the west, how far is it? Forever. The distance is extreme. Or another word. From Micah, chapter 7, verse 19. There are some wonderful words there. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God will cast all their sins, not some of them, all their sins into the depths of the sea. And then it's gone, it's gone. You cannot get it back. I remember how I threw something into the sea one time. There was no hope. No hope. And all I had to do is to be sad and down and shed a tear that this thing was lost now, forever. And the Lord says, this is what I do with sin. The sin of sinners who trust in me. That is what the Christian has. That is what the believer has. Your sins are completely taken care of. He saves completely from sin. But you are saved as well from the power of sin. You simply have to read Romans chapter 6 and see how it speaks about that. We are now dead to sin. Sin has died. Now we live. It's been crucified with Christ. We died with the Lord Jesus and have been raised to a new life in Him. And as a result, He has forever broken the bondage of our sins and set us free from their power. But also you're saved forever. Forever. That's another part of the meaning of uttermost. Forever. You're saved forever from it, from your sins. It's not going to come back. The condemnation will not come back at all. So don't take it back. There are some people who it seems, go back under the condemnation. And yet, Christ has completely saved us to the uttermost, perfectly. Saved forever. Some people read this verse and they think that the word uttermost means that Jesus Christ can save anybody. Well, He can. But that is not the emphasis or the meaning of that word. It has the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ has the ability to save us to the end. To save us to the end. This salvation is forever. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves a soul to the uttermost, He does it completely and He does it forever. And I give unto them, He said, eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Salvation is a complete, a perfect, and a forever work. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save us to the uttermost. And when He does, He is able to keep us forever saved. And that is an encouragement to us sinners. Why? Don't we mess up so much in our lives? Don't we make a ruin of so many things in our daily lives? And yet there is one thing that cannot be messed up. There is one thing that cannot be changed, and that is the salvation of the soul. It is complete because Christ is the one who saves, and that Christ is the one who keeps. He is ours forever. Salvation will not wear out. It will not wear off, one says. To be saved forever. Does that group include you? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And then there is that word, them. Them. These are the group of people. We are not told their names, but we are told who, what kind of people they are. They come to God by him. It could be anybody. It could be anybody who would go to God by him. And here is the bittersweet part of this verse. We are told that this perfect, this complete, this utter salvation can become a reality, but only for them that come unto God by him. You see, salvation is not for everybody. In one sense, there are some people who cannot and will not be saved. And that may surprise you. But it is true. Salvation is only for those who will come to Jesus Christ and call him by faith. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make a way of salvation for all who will come to him by faith. This is something that is repeated again and again, emphasized in the Bible. He has issued an invitation for all people to come to him. Even at the last book of the Bible. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All of these things are given to us as encouragements. And yet, only those will be saved who will come. And he has made a promise to us, to all who call on him by faith, that they will be saved. He will not turn us away. And that's a tremendous blessing. But it is also the crux of a great problem. You see, there are many who hear the message of the cross. They hear the message of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, the good news of the grace of God, and they believe it. And these people are immediately, completely, perfectly, utterly, and forever saved from their sins. However, there are also many, many more that hear this same message and they turn the deaf ear to it. They harden their hearts to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. They walk away from the Lord. They walk away from his promises. And those people, my friends, will never be saved unless they come unto God by him. The Lord Jesus is the only way, my friends. Only way to God. He is the only hope of your salvation. And if we reject him, if we turn a deaf ear, if we walk away, don't consider these things. If we simply, boys and girls, go to Sunday school and then have family worship at home and hear our parents, hear our teachers speak about these things, hear sermons. If you walk away from it, don't pray and seek the Lord. I will say to you, you will not be saved. That is the truth. Are you one of them? Wherefore he is able to save them? By God's grace, may he work in you, that you will be one of them. So I am one of them. I'm one of them. The Lord has saved me. Truly, he has saved me. He made me come to him. He enabled me to come. He caused me to hear his voice. Oh, I rejected him again and again. But he was very patient with me, very gracious to me. He showed me mercy when I should have been damned. Are you one of them? Then there is that word liveth. Salvation is about this promise Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. One of the primary reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save so completely, so perfectly, so utterly is because he is alive. He lives. That's why we worship him on Sundays. Because he lives. He rose from the dead. He's alive in heaven, sitting upon his throne. He's working out his purposes. He's saving souls. He's blessing sinners. He's building up his church. His kingdom grows. He hears our prayers. That's what we know from the Bible. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but as the Bible says, on the third day, he rose from the dead. And after that, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, sitting there at the right hand of God. He's present in heaven now, as he said to the thief on the cross. He was going to be there. When the thief would arrive, Jesus is there. And he's there to make intercession for us. Why would he do that? Because he's our great high priest. This is the first part of this chapter, the seventh chapter of Hebrews. It's about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ to earthly high priests. All other priests die and their ministry ends forever. Jesus died and his ministry began. His ministry continues. He rose from the dead and now he prays. He makes intercession for us in the very presence of his Father. Dear child of God, when you fail as a believer, and we often do, he's there to plead our cause, our case. As it were, reverently, I would say, he says to his Father, put that on my account. His presence in heaven is our guarantee of eternal life. The Lord Jesus is there as the proof that sin has been conquered and the way has been opened into God's presence. He is that door. In all and all who enter through him, through that door, have his presence in heaven as their promise, as their hope, as their anchor. Name any other religious figure that can make that claim. Name anybody who can say, but I know somebody else who can do the same. You cannot. Every other founder of every other major religion has a grave where their followers can go to mourn their deaths. Only Christians have an empty tomb. Our leader, the author and the finisher of our faith, our Savior, he rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven, and is there today as our representative, as our head, as our covenant head, as the guarantee that we will be there one day as well. What a promise. What a guarantee. Saved. Every word is precious. If you analyze it, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What glorious, wonderful words these are. The more we learn about these words, the word saved, what it promises, the more we learn, the more we love these words. And we are glad. We sing about these things. Without reservation, the Christian says, I am saved, not because of who I am, but because of him who has loved me. I praise the Lord that I know that salvation and what it means. I praise the Lord who Jesus, who is my Savior. What about you? Can you say, I know for sure that I am saved. I know whom I have believed. So here is our Savior calling again. calling again. How many times he has called? How many times? Hundreds? Thousands? From this pulpit? For sure. He's called us outwardly in the preaching. Let us bow before him. Let us seek him. Let us call upon him. Let us trust and believe him. Let us be part of that group, them. Wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Well, let us come to him in prayer. Gracious God,